The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday evening, April 5th, 2015. My name is Ray Moore, and I'm here with Unco Asanya, who's filling in for Brian White. Brian White couldn't be here tonight. Apparently, he had a lot of emergency with his family, but still got a show here today. So, Unco, introduce everybody exactly who you are.
Oh, no. First off, if you need a pronunciation guide, you can feel free to follow me at N_ASONYE. I'll probably put one in the bio by the end of the night. But, George Washington University, shout out to it, 4 years there, taking classes now at York College, where I met this guy, Raymond Mora.
Yeah.
Been doing freelancing, play-by-play, been in the business for a while, and it's nice to be on air close to home.
Yep. So we got a lot of topics today. Apparently, we got, you know, it's been a crazy sports weekend. A lot. First, start off with NCAA Final Four recap before we get into the finals. So, you know, the first game was Michigan and Duke. And I want to just go over a little bit more about the game. I kind of knew Duke would win, to be honest. I mean, I think it was an overpowering matchup. I know Michigan State, they had this run when they get to the Final Four. It was like a miracle Cinderella run, but they faced a tougher team. They couldn't really stop Okafor. They couldn't stop the guards either. They just took it over probably by the end of the first half. It was just pretty much their game.
And that's the most fun thing about Duke. I mean, you already know that Jahlil Okafor is going to be the one guy they center around.
Yeah.
But they have so many other pieces around him. Tyus Jones, for a freshman, to be so under control at this stage of his probably 1 year college career is fantastic. Justice Winslow, he's been one of the best players in the ACC all year long. He finally showed it. And how about Quinn Cook, the senior, who had to move from the point guard to the shooting guard role just so that Tyus Jones could get more acclimated. And he may have a ring to show for it in about 24 hours.
Yeah. I mean, let's go over the matchup. I mean, the first half, they were pretty much, you know, it was 36-25. So, you know, Michigan State had some fighting them. They had a little, you know, left in them in the second half, making make a run or anything. Then the second half, it was pretty much all Duke. I mean, at the end of the game, you could say Michigan State, I mean, Travis Trice, the guard, he only had about 16 points. He was 6 of 13, so he had an efficient night. Valentine actually had 22 points. He was 7 of 11. That's from Michigan's side. But then you look at Duke, and it's pretty much been three scores around the 15 points or more, Okafor, Winslow, and Cook. And, you know, Tyus Jones didn't have a great night, but he did have four assists. He had two steals. He had one block. He had 9 points. You know, he does a little, all the little things. You know, I feel like the X factor for Duke, especially when we get into the Kentucky and Wisconsin matchup or anything, but I think the Kentucky for them is, I think Duke with Mason Plumlee, I mean, Marshall Plumlee, he's been pretty much a defensive person on the Duke side of the team. And you know how Coach K preaches defense. So when he puts them in the game, they put that little spark of energy to play defense and get some easier shots for the guards and also for Okafor.
And I'm going to be really interested to see how he plays against Frank Kaminsky, because if he's going to come off the bench, with all due respect to Wisconsin, Frank Kaminsky is their bread and butter. And we'll see whether that's going to turn into some double teams with him and Okafor, or whether he's just going to play him by himself. But if Marshall Plumlee can hold it down inside, it's going to make life a lot easier for everybody else around the perimeter.
Yeah. So what do you think of Coach K? Now he's got to the finals now. What do you think of him as, like, reputation and legacy?
He was already going to be considered likely the greatest basketball coach of all time after John Wooden. I mean, you're not going to follow up against 10 national titles. But what Coach K, I think what he's done is what many other great coaches do. They take a program that wasn't really at that level, that consistent perennial national championship contender level.
Yeah.
And he did that with a small school, a private school in the ACC that was really the redheaded stepchild behind Wake Forest and UNC, until he showed up, made people learn how to pronounce his name correctly, and made Tobacco Row one of the centers of college basketball.
I mean, Coach K is pretty much like a player's coach on the court. I mean, I've seen him even in the game yesterday when they made a steal or a great dunk. He started cheering and all, like, emotionally and everything.
And he's usually trying to be so stoic on the sideline.
Yeah.
One of his players will make a dunk, and the camera just pans to him, and he just sits there like, well, go play defense.
Yeah, it's pretty much his style. So what do you think from the Michigan State side? You know, the coach for that team, he's done a pretty good job. I mean, he did a surprising job to get to the Final Four. Can he build anything away from this?
I mean, first of all, this team had no business getting to the Final Four.
Yeah,
if you ask,
I mean, if you look
anybody
at the roster, yeah, they just they had no. I don't even know how they got in, to be honest. I mean, the Louisville game, I thought for sure Louisville would get to the Final Four, but then they went to overtime. Michigan State just won the game and went to the Final Four, and I was surprised about that.
And you got to give the upperclassmen on this team a lot of credit. Denzel Valentine, Travis Trice, Brendan Dawson. You know, it takes that group of upperclassmen a lot to not only shake off a rough regular season, because let's face it, they had a couple losses that made you just scratch your head at the beginning of the season. Yeah. And then as the Big Ten season rolled on, you know, they were seen as, oh, well, maybe they'll make it to March. They weren't really a lock. Then they get in, and people forget, myself included, that Tom Izzo is March. So I think what they can take from this is the only people stopping us is ourselves.
Yep. That's made a good point. So I wanted to get now more into the Wisconsin-Kentucky game, because this was one of the greatest games I think I've ever seen in a while.
Period.
I mean, hands down, was back and forth the game. I mean, it could go on and on. I mean, it's just terrific basketball yesterday. And it started off with the first half, like in the beginning of the game. Wisconsin was just shooting balls at them like too much. Like they were on the this game wasn't going to be close, but Kentucky made it close. And they're just fighting back and forth. But Wisconsin's like about to blow them away. I mean, Frank Kaminsky, you got to give Sam Decker, because this guy is pretty much the X factor on that team.
Absolutely.
This guy's shooting the 3-point shot at an unbelievable level right now in the tournament. And he, you know, he's been in the season, he wasn't really that well in 3-point shot, but now he's just making these step back threes, and it's just ridiculous how he's shooting.
It's funny what March really does to guys.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's crazy. And then Kentucky, of course, battled on, and then the first half, they were tied. Then the second half changed. You know, there was a moment in the game where they were up Kentucky by 4. Wisconsin, on the 5-minute mark, started to make their run. They closed the game. When Sandegger made that 3, I felt pretty much the game was in their control. They were going to win this game. And they did.
I want to go back, though. When Kentucky had that 2-possession lead down the stretch with about 2.5 minutes left to go in regulation, there was a stretch where they had 3 possessions, where they ate up the clock. They forced Wisconsin to play defense for all 35 seconds, and they didn't get a shot off.
Didn't get any shot off.
Had 2 shot clock violations, and just, it's shocking, because many of them were right at the rim. And they had the bigs. They had Cauley Stein. They had Karl Anthony Towns. They had the options, but if even just one of those goes in, the last 30 seconds that was really pretty haphazard, It's a non-factor.
I mean, if you look at it from the game, though, I mean, Carl Anthony Towns, he played pretty well in that game. He had a lot of rebounds, a lot of offensive rebounds. They're keeping him in this game. But then you look at it on the Wisconsin side, Frank Kaminsky, he played well. Sam Decker, he played well. All the supporting cast around them, they played terrific. And then when they lost the game, Kentucky, then the post game came, and apparently one of the Harrison brothers had a comment about Kaminsky. That was kind of disrespectful, in my opinion.
I mean, I what I will say is this: it is really easy to toss a young kid under the bus and say, "Oh, he's grown; he should know better." But let's pull back for a second. First off, we're going to start with the basic premise. He was wrong.
Yeah.
Especially since the number one rule of any press conference or anywhere where there are people with credentials to say media on them, the mic is always on. You are always on camera. You are always on display. You got to be better than that. But at the same time, you're talking about a 20-year-old kid who played his heart out with his brother on the cusp of being only the second undefeated national champion, or at least having the chance to be that team, would have only been the second in the last 50 years. I would be a little heated after that, because pretty much as soon as they left the court, what's all the nation talking about now? Wisconsin, Wisconsin, on Wisconsin. They're going to go to the Final Four. They play the game the right way, and da-da-da-da-da. Wouldn't you get tired of hearing that too?
Yeah. Wisconsin played the right way, too. You know, it's funny. It's, when they went on this matchup, Wisconsin won this Kentucky matchup. They wanted to beat Kentucky in the tournament.
They came
and they
right
did.
At them.
And they just went right at them. Like, they were going to win this game. It was taking it personally, too. I mean, they weren't going to say anything like they wanted to beat the undefeated record, you know, because, you know, they want to be professional about it against the media. But deep down, they wanted to beat this team and get to the finals.
And let's face it. When Coach Bo Ryan had their post-game interview with Tracy Wolfson, and he said, oh, Duke played? Well, I didn't even know. That's a load of crap.
Yeah.
That's a load of crap. You can do all the warm-ups you want. You can do all the stretches, because that's what happens in tournament setups. It's not like the team waits for the – it's not like they wait for the first game to get over and they're, all right, we're going to get ready now. No, they were warming up. They were doing their stretches. There was probably an auxiliary court in the building that they were probably shooting and doing their drills on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just really – wish we could have seen Kentucky Duke tomorrow.
Yeah, I really want to see that match. I just wanted to see the Okafor against that whole defensive interior. It would have been crazy. But.
And everyone was tabbing it. Number one pick versus number two pick. And Comiskey said, ah, you meant me, right?
You think his stock has risen, Comiskey?
I think his stock has risen fantastically. I mean, this was the game where if you liked seeing post players, this was the game for that. So, predictably, Frank Kaminsky throws up a double-double of 20 points, 11 boards, including a three.
Yeah.
Shot 5-6 from the free throw line. I mean, this is the this is what you look for. And out of this game, again, I don't really see Kaminsky as much of a pros prospect. I think he's a top 10 pick, though.
Yeah.
I know that seems like a real contradictory statement, but we'll see how he develops at the next level, since he's a senior now. And I think having 4 years of Bo Ryan really helped him out. But that matchup is just – it was just so much fun. But guess who didn't show up? Mr. Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah, he didn't show up at all. Like, it was just – I don't even understand why he didn't show up in this game, because I thought for sure that he was going to show up. And then he just lay an egg. Pretty much he lay an egg. And I'm just surprised. He was 1-for-4. He had 2 points. He did have 5 rebounds, but – it just wasn't enough.
Exactly. And it's funny, even though he was the senior and, you know, he could have declared after his freshman year, but then he could have declared after sophomore year, and he didn't. He actually was a Calipari guy who held it down for all 4 years, and it kind of made him the linchpin of that whole front court. When he doesn't do well, they suffer. They were able to pick it back up for every other game. Except for yesterday.
Well, Towns, I mean, yesterday he was 7-for-11. He had 16 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. What do you think of Towns as a player in the NBA? You think he could be a great player in the NBA?
I think he can be a good player. I don't want to tab anyone as greatness, because we haven't really seen too many of those. I mean, take Andrew Wiggins' fantastic rookie season aside. It's not like we're going to pull a Jerry West. We were talking about it on the way over here. I don't think anyone's going to pull a Jerry West and go, he's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not quite sure how that
is. That was rare when he did it to Kobe Bryant back in 96.
That's
and
right.
He said it to them, like, this guy's going to be a great player. This is his work ethic, how insane he is and everything. And he turned out to be a great player. If you look at it right now he's one of the greatest players, probably top 10 greatest player of all time in NBA history. And, you know, for Anthony Towns, I mean, this guy is pretty much good on the defensive side. He moves pretty well, 6'9 frame. And he can't score, too. Like, he's an underrated scorer. So, I mean, it depends between him and Jahlil Okafor. Who would you choose as, like, number one pick?
I'm picking Okafor.
You pick Okafor?
Not a question. And this is not a slight against Karl Anthony Towns, because he's a very good player and he's a talented player. But there are certain things that don't come often in the draft, and being a 7-footer is one of them.
Yeah.
And the one thing about Okafor, and that's one thing that you mentioned that you didn't like about him, he doesn't really play the greatest defense.
Yeah, he's played a defensive liability on the court, especially when it comes to, like, help defense and pick-and-roll situations.
But one thing that I think everyone who's even a fan of college basketball has to keep in mind, he's a freshman.
Yeah, he's still young.
19 years old, and let's face it, without the one-and-done rule, somebody's drafting him anyway.
High school, yeah.
Somebody's drafting him straight out of high school.
Wait, he'd be like an Andrew Bynum, but then where'd that come through, you know? He was drafted out of high school. He could have been a great player, too.
Oh, Andrew Bynum's a whole nother can of worms, because he had the talent. He just didn't want to play.
Yeah.
And that's honestly, that's his prerogative. you know, that's what you choose to make of your career. But he also got at least two rings out of it.
Yeah, that's something out
so
of
there,
it.
So there, you can't really complain about having a career like Andrew Bynum. Now, if he saved his money, he can go on and do something else with his life if he doesn't want to play basketball.
All right, so then let's look at it from this matchup now. With this between Duke and Wisconsin, you know, people expected actually in the beginning, the earlier in the tournament, that this probably could have been the matchup between Duke and Wisconsin or Duke or Kentucky. Now that it's Duke and Wisconsin, what do you expect from them Monday night?
Oh, Monday night. I'm just thinking about it now.
It's going to be a great matchup, though.
It's going to be a great matchup because the same way, it's kind of like...
I feel like they're, you know, if you think about it, they're mirror teams, if you think about it. It's just the way they play. They spread out the offense, you know, they're shooting their threes, and Wisconsin shoots a lot of threes, too. Franz Kaminsky's pretty much the post player. He'll pass it around. Sam Decker is, like, pretty much their X-factor because he makes his threes. They're pretty much going to win. The thing with Tyus Jones for, you know, Duke, he's the same thing. He could pull up. He's a good pull-up, underrated pull-up three-point shooter. He could be good in the league, especially if he gets drafted. You got him and you got Okafor spreading out to the shooters. And everybody on that Duke team can shoot the three. Even their freshmen, they could shoot the three. Like, their bench players, they all could shoot it.
Right. I want to go back to the way the scene is because usually when you go game by game by game, fan bases have been waiting. And Kentucky fans who are so mad are selling all their tickets right now. Yeah. And you mentioned them being such a mirror image. I can only imagine that arena being split in half on Wisconsin. Let's go Devils.
Let's go Duke.
Bo Ryan.
Okafor against Kaminsky.
I mean, it's...
Decker and Jones. It's going to be a lot. Winslow and Jones.
It's almost... when we think about it, it's almost a bit more perfect than Duke-Kentucky because Duke-Kentucky has the hype... That's Cal Perry against
Coach K,
good versus evil, however you want to spin it, doesn't really matter. But here, it's like, maybe this is the way it was supposed to be all along.
Well, you got a veteran team in Wisconsin, you know, because you got a bunch of seniors that might be graduating. You got a young team in Duke, about three freshmen, Okafor, Jones, and Winslow. I mean, these guys, they play well, even in the pressure. Now they're going to figure out how they play in the finals. Pretty much their last years, if you think about it, because they're probably going to get drafted most of the
time. If we're being honest, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get drafted.
Except for that Grayson Allen kid. And that play was fantastic. Yeah. Mr. Three said, you know what? No one's guarding me. I'll just slam it home.
You know, it's interesting. If you look at it from last year when Parker left the Duke team, and let's say he did stay for another year, he had him and Okafor. That would have been some crazy combination.
That would have been an enticing matchup, but my only thing is they would have played a whole lot differently.
Yeah, they would
because
have.
Because they would have used Jabari Parker not just as their principal low post threat like they did during his freshman year.
Yeah.
He would have gone to play inside and outside, which means Winslow would probably come off the bench. You still have, oh, wow.
Yeah, it would have been a deeper team.
That would have been a crazy team.
So who you got taking it tomorrow?
Duke's got it tomorrow.
Duke's got it by how much? A close game?
I wasn't going to give Wisconsin much of a chance, but the more I think about it...
It might come down to the last seconds of the game.
It's coming down to the wire.
It's going to
come down to the wire, but I do have Duke.
I have Duke as well.
For two principal reasons for me. Number one, I think Tyus Jones is going to put a handle on this game because his savvy as a freshman... It's unparalleled. It's not something you see out of a freshman.
I think he has one of the best pull-up jumpers, three-point shots, a freshman I think I've seen. Because this guy, when he shoots that three of a pull-up especially, sometimes it will go in, but most of the time, it's going to go in most of the time.
It just looks so good
on the release. Yeah, it looks so smooth. Yeah, it looks so smooth. So that's why I'm like, him and Winslow, those guys are going to be the key in my opinion. If they play well, they're going to probably beat Wisconsin, guard play.
Which leads to my second point, which is going to go... Right down to the post. If I'm going to pick somebody defensively in the post, it's a toss-up.
Yeah.
But I like Okafor's chances.
Against Kaminsky?
If Kaminsky stays inside.
But he's going to stretch him out, though.
Kaminsky's going to stretch him out.
And that's going to open up three-point shooters around Wisconsin as well. You got Decker right there. It means a lot more three-point shooters.
So and I want to see how they're going to switch off there. If Plumlee, who we mentioned, is a really big factor for Duke, if Plumlee plays better perimeter defense than Okafor, then Plumlee's going to stay on Comiskey wherever he goes, and Okafor will probably just play the paint.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to call in at 631-888-811, discuss any of the college picks, or you have Duke, or do you have Wisconsin, let us know. Also, you know, because we have a little bit of time before we get to half of the show, I wanted to go into also potentially number one pick. You know, now the Knicks, they have the worst record in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're winning. Of course, they're winning right now against the 76ers, but who cares about that? I mean, really. It's funny as a fan that you want them to lose so much because you want them to tank to get number one pick. And then we look at the standings, we look like, oh, you know, they're three games worse than the 76ers. We're like, that's good because, you know, it's almost like the opposite of you wish they were the good team, but it's the worst team. But who do you think the Knicks should pick if they get the first pick? Is it the set Okafor? Because Phil Jackson has made it clear, especially in the press conference, that he's looking for somebody to play defense, like a defensive center kind of, or if you think about just Karl Anthony Towns.
I'm going to dispute that, if only because I'm all for going for someone who's played defensively, but this has got to be a draft. If you're a top four, you got to see potential. You have to see pro potential. Just because they haven't proved it yet at the collegiate level doesn't mean it's just you cast them away and you just.
I mean, but if you think about it, in the NBA, you can't really teach defense. I mean, you could teach defense, but you can't teach it to the point where they're just really good. Like, unless you have the athletic body, you have the potential that you could be a great defender. Like when LeBron James came to the league, he wasn't a good defender. Like he wasn't a good defender at all. He was just like one of the worst defenders. But then he worked hard in his defense because he had that flexibility to guard players 1 through 5, and then. Players like Andrew Wiggins, which he came to the league, he was already a defensive player.
But he didn't have the greatest offensive
arsenal.
Yeah,
he got lots of fun, which he's going to work on now. And then when I look at it from 3 years ago with the Knicks when they drafted Patrick Ewing, he already came into the league as a defensive center. Pat Riley turned him into an offensive player. Now he's top 50 greatest player of all time, which you look at an offensive gift, and people say Melo is the better talent. But Patrick Queen was a really great player with the Knicks.
Exactly.
He's a really great player. He was top 50 all time. Like that Knicks team, even though they didn't have any offensive players, he still played pretty well on that team with all defensive players around him.
And that is precisely my point. If there is a question about Okafor's motor or work ethic,
yeah,
fine. I get that. You probably don't want to risk a number one pick on that. But if his motor is not an issue and all you got to do is teach him how to read the defense, how to decide whether you're going to take a charge or go up for the block, then you take him. It's not a question. At least to me, it's not.
Yeah, I think for him, he can be like an Hakeem or Shaq. But I think he can be more Hakeem because of his post presence and what he can do. And Tim Duncan, of course, because Duncan's probably one of the best post players to ever play in this game.
An interesting comparison I heard, Jahlil Okafor, Pau Gasol.
Yeah. That's interesting. Although I felt like Pau Gasol and Frank Kaminsky, only because
that could work
because they have similar game styles in terms of they shoot outside. They're not really that strong, but they're skillful in what they do. Kaminsky's pretty skillful. I think Kaminsky is gonna get drafted to the Lakers though, and the Lakers get the top. Of course, if they keep that top fit, depending on how the seeding is, you know, their rankings right now.
They probably might go get Okafor themselves, but
yeah, they worst case scenario get Kaminsky.
Kaminsky would be an interesting fit in L.A.
Yeah, especially with Randall. And Kobe was like the last year or whatever.
Yeah, you know Kobe's going to say, you go down there,
yeah.
You go out there, I'm going to work. If I'm crashed, be open.
Yep. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I'm saying the Knicks got a lot of work to do in the offseason. And they have so much work to do. In terms of free agency and the draft, it's all up to Phil Jackson.
Point blank, period. And I would urge... management to not be afraid to take a few risks, but let's not go overboard because we remember the days of Isaiah Thomas when he pulled up Jerome Jordan. I was like, okay. And the team was still talented, but
yeah,
it didn't work. It
didn't work at all.
And there's nothing wrong with taking a few risks.
Stephon Marbury, those years.
Oh, good God.
Well, I mean, Jamal Crawford and Curry, those years, but,
it's
you know.
It's crazy. I mean, look, go get you a Matt Barnes if he's a free agent and you think you need a veteran presence that sometimes doesn't say always the right thing, but toughens up the locker room. It's okay to take risks as long as you know what your composition is going to be.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to also ask you about why is Melo avoiding the team after his surgery right now, apparently? Because now it's like reports on him not sitting on the bench because he thinks of the hustle players when they come in, they got to close on him or anything like that, which is kind of bull, if you ask me, because it's just like,
Knicks.
I know,
one in a one-on-one chance
that's going to happen. It's just because the Knicks just stink. That's why he's not cheering for them.
Like, seriously, honestly, unless they're facing a Western Conference team fighting for a playoff spot,
yeah,
there's no hustle play. Oh, they're going to run into me on the bench to worry about. Yeah. They rarely even go in the direction of the benches. They go more toward the fans than they go toward the players.
Yeah, that's just a low audible. He knows that he's not going to root for the Knicks and be like, oh, you know, let's go. Yeah, yeah. He's not going to do that.
He doesn't want to be the face of the team when, you know, the team is struggling right now. And listen, I don't really know what to make of it. Maybe there's an ulterior motive. Maybe there's a family emergency going on that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But from the outside looking in, it's not a good look for your supposed team leader.
Yeah, it isn't.
At all.
So, you know, we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll be discussing a little bit of the NBA playoffs and for the MLB preview season. Talk about awards and the teams here on Sports Talk, 1240 a.m. in Long Island.
Radio New York and AM 1240 WBBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WBBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Back here on Sports Talk 1240, I'm Maria Mora, and we've got Unkwa here filling in for Brian White today. So, you just heard the breaking news about Frank Kaminsky being Player of the Year.
The Naismith College Player of the Year.
That's very interesting. You know, I'm saying this player, this guy's actually stock is rising up in the tournament and everything, so it's going to be interesting to see how is he going to be when it comes to the draft. Who's going to draft him?
I mean, I said before, I didn't see much pro potential in him before. He just kind of seemed like a big guy who could shoot, but he proved he can play inside. He proved he can rebound against one of the toughest front courts in the nation yesterday. So he's a top. That's a top 10 pick.
Yeah. So, you know, let's get into a little bit of the NBA before we get into the MLB preview. Now for the seedings, it's very interesting for the NBA. You got the East right now. A couple of teams fighting for the eighth seed. You know, we already know who's going to be in the first through pretty much six. You got the Hawks, Cleveland. You got Chicago, you got the Raptors, you got the Wizards, the Bucks right there. Then you got 7-8 between Boston, Brooklyn, Pacers, Heat. Who you got in the 7th or 8th spot for the East? You think he's going to come out?
First of all, I think we should preface this and every single discussion with the East by saying the fact that seeds 6 through 8 are under 500.
Yeah.
And you have Dallas at 46-31 as the 7 seed, San Antonio at 56-26 as the 6 seed in the West, and then the teams barely out of the chase, New Orleans and Phoenix, both over 500.
Yeah, it's
that's
just
disgraceful.
It's just, I think the East is by far the weakest we've ever seen in a while.
It's disgraceful. And you all know what the crazy thing is? If you put Utah in the East right now, they're 1 game out of the 8th playoff. It's crazy. But as for my 6, 7, and 8 picks, I think that Milwaukee, they're young, but Jason Kidd did not get the credit he got for what he did with the Nets last year.
With
not the most workable roster. I think Milwaukee holds the 6.
Yeah.
I think Brooklyn falls to 8. And Boston will move up to 7.
7?
Indiana doesn't have... Indiana's out of games.
It's funny. Indiana, though, has a tiebreaker. If they win out...
If they win out, then it's theirs. I just don't see them winning out.
They face the Hawks or the Cavs in the first round. And the Heat look like they're going to be out.
The Heat, disappointed.
They
Charlotte
lost to the Pacers. Yeah, so they're going to... There's your
tiebreaker like you were talking about.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. In terms of the matchups, though, in the first round in the East... Who do you think is the most interesting matchup?
I'm looking squarely at 4-5.
Toronto and
Washington. Because Toronto, on the very cusp of winning just their second playoff series ever. I think it might have even been their first. I should have had that on tap. But I think the most interesting thing about that is the matchup at the point guard position. John Wall against Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry, a better shooter, but John Wall, who's really come into his own.
Yeah.
With finding his teammates. And Paul Pierce, loathed here in New York, but loved in D.C. because he finds ways to make things happen. But my pick is Washington, by the way. Toronto, they seem like they're on the cusp of getting there. They're one big score short.
I feel like they've been, both of them have been disappointed this year, though.
I do agree
Raptors
with that.
Raptors and Wizards have been, I feel like they could have been the number one or two seeds, in my opinion, after what they did last year and surprised everybody. They're taking that next step in the East that they could have been number one or two, but then you got now Chicago and Cleveland, which is very interesting because for Chicago's situation, you have players that are injured around that roster with Rose, Gibson, Noah, and they're trying to get back healthy again. But in my opinion, even if they're healthy, I feel like they're not going to go as deep as you think they can, only because of that, because of the coach, because of the way how stubborn he is.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a real problem with Randy Whitman lately. I mean, one of my good friends who actually writes for Bullets Forever and SB Nation blog, Mike Sykes, he's counting the days that Randy Whitman can be replaced. But, you know, I think that in this particular case, Washington... As far as last year, at least, they've done this before.
Yeah.
They got past the first round. They should have really gone to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They should have.
But they blew it.
Blew to the Pacers. They had a chance against the Eastern Conference, and then
they really did.
They lost it.
So I think they have that round.
Who you got coming out of the East, though? Cleveland or Chicago?
I think it's real funny, first of all, how you didn't mention Atlanta at all. I guess we're going to get back to that in a second, but... Between Cleveland and Chicago, I've got to go Cleveland.
I think it's going to be the Hawks, though, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, too.
Stop it.
You think Hawks are going to come out of the East?
Stop it. No. Stop it. Stop. No. It's not going to happen. In fact, I was one of those who was convinced that the Hawks would go down in the first round.
Really?
I still think the first round is going to be a struggle for the Hawks. And I don't think they're not getting out of the second round.
Again, interesting.
It really depends on their matchup, but since they will take on the lowest seed left remaining as being the number one seed,
yeah,
Boston's gone. Forget it.
Yeah, they're gone.
Brooklyn, that's funny. Milwaukee, that was cool. So Atlanta, Washington, I'm taking Washington.
You're taking Washington.
I'm taking Washington.
So leave Washington and Chicago? I mean, Washington and Cleveland, in your opinion?
It could get there, but either way, between Cleveland and Chicago, Cleveland's my pick to come out of the East. Atlanta's not going very far, folks. Sorry. We've seen this story before. Different coach, different players, same doggone story.
Yeah, out of the first round. So now we got to the West side. You know, all these top eight teams. You got Wild Wild West, that's what you call it.
This is actually going to be a lot of fun.
Warriors, Rockets, Grizzlies, the Blazers, the Clippers, the Spurs, the Mavericks, and of course you got the fighting for the AFC between the OKC and Pelicans. We got coming out of the West, though.
The West is so much fun, but so tough at the same time, because every single team has a characteristic that would take them to the promised land. Because Golden State, Stephen Curry, and you can end it right there. Houston, the beard. And Dwight Howard's actually not being a punk. There that is. Memphis finally has their volume scorer. Hello, Jeff Green.
Yeah, Jeff Green's been pretty much a surprise of the Grizzlies.
You got Portland with Damian Lillard and even a hurt LaMarcus Aldridge. Yeah, still toughing it out.
Yep.
L.A. Clippers, Doc Rivers. Leave it at that.
Chris Paul. Yeah.
San Antonio, reigning champs. Leave it at that. Dallas, Rondo, Nowitzki, and an underrated Chandler Parsons, and OKC, Russell Westbrook. Any one of these teams could do it. But my pick is going to come down between two teams, Golden State and San Antonio.
Yeah, and those are the two teams that they just faced tonight, and the Spurs beat the Warriors
on their own turn. I'd still pick the Warriors to go to the finals.
The only reason I picked the Warriors to go to the finals, too, because you got three things that are going right for the Warriors. You got the coach that's pretty much had players bought into the system. You have Curry playing at a high level right now, and Thompson. They're just playing out of their mind right now, shooting the ball and everything. And you got, more importantly, the supporting cast is probably the best supporting cast in the NBA.
Fact.
Over everybody else, even over Cleveland Cavaliers. But
they're so deep. And Draymond Green,
yeah,
please go to free agency, because the Knicks would love to have you.
Yeah. It's funny, if it's Cleveland and LeBron and Cleveland and the Warriors in the finals, I mean, can you really go against the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I want to, but I'm not quite sure that
Kyrie Irving can get hot any moment too.
Honestly, to me, it really depends on how well Draymond Green guards LeBron.
Yeah.
And how hot Steph Curry can get against Kyrie Irving. Because Kyrie Irving does not play great defense.
He doesn't play great defense, but he has a great offense. He's probably on the rate of finisher in the point guard position. Absolutely. This guy can finish the ball at the rim and everything. He's just good.
I mean, he's a very good offensive player, but
yeah, defensively.
There's a lot to be left defensively. And the funniest thing, think back to that Phoenix-Golden State game with me for a moment.
Yeah.
Granted, Phoenix was way out of position, but on that offensive board, when it went to Klay Thompson, I believe one of the Morris twins was chasing him, and Steph Curry was left unchecked.
Yep.
Unchecked. I mean, that's the kind of threat that makes Golden State such a tough out. But the difference is, somebody would be coming up on Curry for Cleveland. Whether it's LeBron coming up himself, or he's pushing somebody to say, go get Steph Curry. And that's what's going to separate the East from the West, and Cleveland's probably going to take it.
Yep, and that's going to be an interesting matchup. We'll talk about it in the playoffs, of course, throughout the month when the playoffs start. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the MLB. Now that the MLB season has officially begun, you know, I haven't watched a lot of spring training. I mean, be honest, who watches spring training? I mean, it's just, I know you want to see how the games are going to be played, especially the players when they get ready for the season and everything, but exhibition-wise, the Yankees and the situation with Tanaka, the situation with their offense, where they're going to be this year, the bullpen with all these pitchers now. In terms of the whole MLB, you know, pitcher, you know, I made a list here of all the awards. Actually, I got it from the Bleacher Report. There's a list of here. So we'll start off a little bit, the batting average. Freddie Freeman from the Atlantic Braves. You see that happening, him winning the batting average title?
Freddie Freeman, NL batting champ. I see it.
Okay, you got now the home runs. Stanton from the Mariners.
Stand from the Marlins, not a shot that it's going to be anybody else. I'm sorry, it's not going to be anybody else.
You got RBIs, David Ortiz, which is kind of weird. In my opinion. I mean, I know he's going to play DH most likely, but I mean, most probably brought the whole season, but they were the season's RBIs champion. It's a little bit interesting.
The thing is, I don't want people to read too much into Boston offensively because they have a lot of great pieces. You have Pedroia coming back. Hanley Ramirez is going to be huge. But you got to wonder who's protecting David Ortiz.
Yeah, that's the biggest question.
That's the thing. Napoli, you got to make sure he's all the way back. Sandoval, back in, still has trouble hitting from the right side.
Yeah.
So if you throw a lefty at David Ortiz, and Ortiz has gotten a whole lot better hitting lefties, you know you have kind of a weak spot in Sandoval. Well, so I don't know if I see him as RBI champ.
Well, let's look at it from the wins now. From the pitchers, Max Scherzer for the Nationals. You see that happening?
Ooh, yeah. I can definitely see that happening. If Washington gets its act together, it should be a given, actually.
Best ERA, Clay Kershaw.
You get an ERA under two, you have anything you want. As far as I'm concerned, it's all Kershaw.
And strikeouts, you got Kershaw as well, which possibly could happen again.
Yeah, we can leave that alone. That's good.
So, rookie of the year, you got Daniel Norris from Toronto Blue Jays.
AL rookie of the year. I don't know. I would actually go with Taijuan Walker from the Mariners, actually.
That's interesting. Now you got Cy Young Hernandez from the Mariners.
I will co-sign that.
I think he could have won it last year, too. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I co-sign that wholeheartedly.
And you got Kyle from the Mariners as well, winning the MVP.
Stop it. Stop. He's a top-tier third baseman in the AL, but MVP, no.
I mean, the Mariners could have a great record this year, and he could be one of the...
Oh, yeah. I hear that. I would be more likely to give it to Nelson Cruz than I would be to Seager. But honestly, Mike Trout's going to win a second straight.
Yeah, for the AL. You got the NL, not rookie of the year, Chris Bryant from Chicago Cubs.
He should be playing tomorrow.
Should be playing tonight, actually. They're playing today, too.
You know exactly what I'm trying to say. Opening he night. Should be in the lineup right now. But Theo Epstein being Theo Epstein says, we can keep him for a little bit longer. So they'll keep him down for a bit.
Cy Young, Max Scherzer from the Nationals.
I'm giving it back to Kershaw.
Kershaw?
Giving it back to Kershaw.
Okay, MVP. Stanton.
Give it to him.
Give it to him.
Absolutely.
MVP. Cinderella team, Tampa Bay Rays.
That's not going to happen.
You think they're going to be?
Best pitching. Probably top five pitching. Bottom five offensively.
Yeah. I mean, they always have great pitching. It's really much their offense to Tampa Bay.
Exactly. And all due respect to Kevin Cash, but you are not Joe Madden. It's not going to happen.
American League East champs, Boston Red Sox.
Toronto.
That's actually interesting between Blue Jays and the Red Sox, and the Yankees aren't even in that conversation this year.
They can be. They really can be. But it all starts in the batter's box. Because the Yankees, the starting pitching, a lot of question marks there. The bullpen's become more shut down with Betances adding Andrew Miller. But the East is going to the Blue Jays. They're actually going to do it this year.
All right. You got now the Central champs, Cleveland Indians.
I'll buy that.
All right. You got West champs, Seattle Mariners.
Definitely buy that.
Wild cards, Angels and Rays.
Angels and Sox. Angels and somebody out of the East.
You think the Red Sox?
Yeah, Angels and the Sox. Everybody keeps wanting the Tampa Bay Rays to happen. It's not.
Well, actually, if they do win a championship, it'll probably be maybe the Blue Jays, probably. So we'll see about that. But yeah. National League East champs, the Nationals.
Yep.
Yeah, there's no question. That rotation is just mind-boggling how they got all those pitchers lined up. It really is. Don't you think about it?
Collusion, man.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Now we got National League Central champs, St. Louis Cardinals.
I think it's either going to be them or Cincinnati. I can see Cincinnati making a comeback.
Yeah, it could go either way. National League's West champs, Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got to come back.
Care to them.
I think they want to take away from that bad loss they had in the series last year. They want to go back. Wild cards, Cubs, and Pirates.
I can get behind that.
The Cubs, maybe. That'll be interesting.
I can definitely
Chicago
get behind
fans,
that.
Yeah. Pirates, too. Then we got American League Championship Series, if this could happen, the Mariners over the Red Sox.
Mariners is a stretch. Red Sox, not so much of a stretch.
That'll be interesting. National League Championship Series, Dodgers over Nationals.
Unfortunately, the Nationals don't have much of a playoff lineage to speak of, and everything that's of them in the playoffs is bad. I haven't gotten out of the first round, so I can see that.
War Series, Dodgers over Mariners.
Sure. Who knows?
I just wanted, that would be interesting to go over the Mariners. But, you know, these are just predictions and everything. But
I want
to
talk about the Cinderella team real quick, though. And this coming with the big news that happened before first pitch tonight.
Yeah.
Craig Kimbrell, no longer on the Braves.
Yeah, that's...
He made his way west. The Padres are my Cinderella team.
You think the Padres are Cinderella team this year?
Padres. And what's weird about them is that their outfield, all right-handed, all power bats, but no true center fielder. And even though we know the traditional numbers don't hold all the weight they used to, certain things that are intangibles of a prototypical center fielder, those are things that you want to have. And I think they're trying to slot Will Myers into center field and moving Matt Kemp to the corners, which I think is going to switch around pretty soon. Myers has a decent arm. His range can be here or there, and his arm is okay too. So I think they're forcing him. They're forcing it, but apparently center field is the easiest to play. I've played center field. It's not really all that easy.
Yeah, it's just a difficult play outfield. You know, interesting with these all these awards, all these predictions and everything. So I wanted to get more into pretty much on the AL side of the Yankees situation. What do you expect from the Yankees this year? Because, you know, they have so many questions with Tanaka, with his arm, Sabathia, what he's going to be this year, Pena, he's going to stay healthy. It's all what ifs for the Yankees, you think about it. What if this? What if that? What if they?
It's all question marks for New York Yankees. It's so crazy. But if I'm being truthfully honest, I don't see a playoff run. They'll finish over 500. They'll play spoiler. I don't see the playoffs.
You don't think they make playoffs this year?
Not
even with A-Rod's return. Oh, which is kind of interesting with A-Rod because he actually had a pretty solid spring training.
Solid spring. I'll be shocked if they get 20 homers out of him. But honestly, the one thing I dislike about that Yankee lineup is that they have no solid right-handed power.
They just don't have consistent offense. You know, they're gonna have droughts in this season where they're gonna have be hitting home runs. Then they're gonna be a drought where they're gonna hit nothing at all.
Exactly, and I think having balance in the lineup is part of it.
Yeah,
if you go around the diamond, McCann, lefty bat, Teixeira, switch hitter. One thing those two have in common: a lot of swing and misses.
They can't stay healthy either. Teixeira can't stay healthy with wrist injury.
Exactly. You have Headley at third base, switch hitter, far removed from that surprise MVP looking season.
Yeah.
Middle infield between Gregorius and injured Brendan Ryan, maybe Ref Snyder or Perella can man second base for the Yankees. You have no idea what you're getting.
And first base, and of course, Teixeira.
Yeah, we already
possibly A-Rod.
Yeah, I would expect him to DH most of the time. That's, there's your one right-handed bat, and your other one, if he makes the start, is Chris Young.
Yeah,
and then you have Brett Gardner and Jacoby Ellsbury.
And outfield. You lost Ichiro, so he's not there anymore. Ichiro was just old.
Ichiro was a bench player.
Yeah, he was washed up. And, of course, Beltran. But the thing with Beltran was his elbow. You know, he should have done the surgery. He should have not prolonged it. Now he's going to have that throughout the whole season with his elbow injury.
And it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look. The Yankees are a group of veterans. And groups of veterans either do one of two things. They either go, let's cash our checks. Or they say, you know what? Forget this. We got something to go get.
And pretty much the bullpen. It comes down to the bullpen. They lost Robinson. They have gained some better pitchers. They have Andrew Mitter coming out. Possibly could be the closer. Him or Patances. In my opinion, it should be Patances as a closer.
I'm here for that.
And for Patances. And you got, of course, Tanaka on his elbow situation. If he's getting a Tommy John surgery this year or not, depending on what happens. Sabathia, he's probably going to be like a third pitcher at most now because you got Pena, who's healthy. He's going to be second. You got Nova. I mean, it wasn't the problem last year with the Yankees with the pitching staff because they just played out of their mind, Girardi, what he did with them. It's pretty much their offense. You know, the pitching's going to be there, but can their offense make the big hits? Can it make the big runs?
And I think that it's going to let them down. They will finish at least at 500. I think they'll finish over 500 a little bit. But
maybe, yeah.
I don't see much for the Bronx Bombers this year.
So coming from the Yankees side, let's go into a little bit of the Mets now. Now, you know, Mets are a very interesting situation right now.
Yeah.
They lost Zach Wheeler for the season now. We understand that he had Tommy John surgery. But they still got Matt Harvey back. They had a new hitting coach, Kevin Long, from the Yankees. Their defenses in City Field seems much closer. We talked about this earlier before the show. What do you expect from the Mets this year? You think they can make the wild card team with A.O. Wright playing the right way with Daniel Murphy? Hopefully staying healthy what he did last year.
I really think the Mets have a wild card shot this year. So the Mets faithful that have been saying, oh, God, not again. I think you can place a little bit of optimism in this season because Mets fans do like to whine, let's face it. And if you're mad at me, come get at me. At @N_ASONYE. Tweet me. We'll talk about it. But what I like about the Mets this year is that they actually have a major league lineup. It's been a while that we could say that about the Mets. You have Darnold emerging behind the plate. David Wright, you have no clue what you're going to get from David Wright, if we're being honest. But if he gives you 280, 10 homers, 60 ribs, take it and say God bless you. You got Lucas Duda across the diamond who really broke out last year. I think he can hit 30 homers again.
Maybe.
And he's going to be a real cornerstone in that offense. Daniel Murphy, always been consistent. Whoever they trot out at shortstop, because the Mets really never know.
Yeah.
And then that outfield, Granderson will get his head back on straight.
Hopefully he gets average up there. That's the only thing really disappointing about Granderson. He gets his home runs and RBIs, but his average has always been either 230 or below that.
And you remember, he had a couple years in Detroit where he was untouchable. Hit 300. I think he was one of four members of the past 25 years in the 2020 club.
Yeah.
20 homers. 20 doubles, 20 triples, 20 steals, all that. He may regain part of that form this year. Lagares showed a lot of progress at the plate. And, you know, the Mets have a shot at it this year.
You think it would be surprising if they get the wild card and somehow make, like, a miracle Cinderella run?
I will not be surprised at all.
No, Mets fans would be excited about that.
They should be, because I'll tell you what. One thing about Mets fans, like I said, they do complain a lot, but they have a right to complain. They've been behind this team for so long. This team has really had its hiccups. It's had its miscues, both on the field and off the field. You remember K-Rod back in 2010 in the parking lot, in the freaking parking lot, and he assaults his girlfriend's father.
Yeah, that's just...
And you have Mets fans going, only the Mets. And you have Yankee fans going, only the Mets. And the rest of baseball going, only the Mets. So I think they're finally due for at least a playoff appearance this year.
Hopefully, you know, it's going to be a long MLB season. It's going to be a lot of stuff. You know, tomorrow's opening day, Yankees and Blue Jays. The Mets are playing tomorrow as well. I mean, of course, it's opening day, and people expect them to win the first game of the season. I certainly don't expect the Yankees, if they win tomorrow or not, I'm not going to be mad about it. If they win, of course, I'll be happy. If they lose, well, you know, it's still early in the season. You're not going to be surprised suddenly they're going to lose one game, and all Yankee fans go crazy, like, it's going to be a bad season for the Yankees if they win a game. They'll be like, oh, it's going to be the Yankees here, because you know how Yankee fans are. That one first
one, over
be like no, it'll be a good season. But I don't expect too much from the Yankees. You know, if they win tomorrow, be good for them. They lose, you know, they still got a couple of games. It's still early in the season. That's why it's 162 games of the season. In my opinion, and I've watched baseball pretty much since I was a little kid, especially Yankees baseball. In my opinion, the season for the MLB season starts around the summertime when the games start to get a little bit more serious. For me. All the games really count. We have April, May, all these weak teams, they make these little pushes like they're going to have a good season. They start going downhill. They start out well, but then they go down. But, you know, true MLB fans out there that watch every game, I salute you to that because I really can't do as much as I used to do when I watched almost all of those games.
I'm telling you what, I love watching as many games as possible. It's harder on TV.
Yeah.
Because.
Because it's like you just wait. When we watch it in person, it's more exciting because you're right there and you can see everything.
Exactly. You get to see the grounds crew do YMCA, which I still think is corny, but still very cool. You get to hear the bleacher creatures with the roll call. And the funniest thing about the roll call is when somebody new comes up and you try and figure out what the rhythm's going to be for the name, they do something else, and you go, oh, that actually works.
Yeah. That's interesting, though. But we're going to see some good Yankees and Mets baseball, hopefully. Mets will make that run. Maybe, you never know. Mets could actually take over the city over the Yankees.
Slow down,
but we don't see that yet.
Slow down, partner. Let's get to June first.
But yeah, I was going to tell at least June, July, see if the Mets and Yankees records are. And I hope the Yankees have a great season, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if they do make the playoffs. I'll be a little bit surprised only because of how the lineup is swing up and everything.
And you want to know what I think is really cool? The Subway Series, which is only one series, which kind of stinks. But the fact of the matter is they play in September.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really fun if they're both in the hunt.
Fighting for that playoff spot.
Like, literally.
It'll be so intense.
City Field, Yankee Stadium are going to be insane.
It's going to be intense, and I can't wait for that matchup. So, you know, we got a few minutes here. You got any predictions about the NFL draft? A little bit more.
The Jets will trade up for Jameis Winston.
The Jets?
The Jets will trade up.
You think they're going to trade up for Jameis Winston?
I would trade up for Jameis Winston.
That's interesting. I never seen that coming. You think they wouldn't just wait, get what they wanted, and then
if they were willing to do it for Mark Sanchez and he was on a team that wasn't really tabbed to go anywhere?
Yeah.
If Mike Mack wants to swing for the fences with this number one pick, now's the time to do it because he's got Jets Nation really riled up right now. What you thinking?
Well, he's been doing. I mean, they've been doing a lot of great moves, the Jets. You know, all these free agencies with Darrelle Revis and Kamari coming back, with Brandon Marshall trade, also getting Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I was like, you know, it's okay. He's mostly a backup quarterback at best. I don't think he's a starter, in my opinion. You know, they still got a lot of work to do, especially the offense. We don't know what Smith's going to be this year. So, Smith, is he going to be a good quarterback in the system with spread offense, or is he going to be just not playing for, you know, a job anymore? You don't know for sure.
I mean, it's so frustrating because he has these end-of-the-year stretches where he looks like the future. And then you go, he could be the future, until you look back at games where he doesn't complete 10 passes. And you go, how did that happen? Granted, his offensive line didn't help him, and he had really nobody to throw to because the wide receiver core looked like you pulled some guys off a bar Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to do it like the Seahawks way. They run the football. You know, Wilson doesn't turn over the football, but Smith's not like that.
They still got to catch the ball.
Yeah, they still. So, we'll see what happens in the NFL and everything. But, you know, I want to thank everybody for listening in the show. Thank you, Unqua, for coming in here. Stepping in for Brian. This is Sports Talk 12-4 in Long Island. And sorry now to everybody. Have a great night watching MLB and also for tomorrow.
Good night.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.